The Trash Talk Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com.
Overkill Derby products at OverkillDerby.com.
Boat Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it, Derby Inc. This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York. And now your host, Chris Marquardt.
Good afternoon, good evening, welcome to episode number 107. Again, by the way, the count was off last week. Episode number 107, recapping Blizzard Bash 2015. It's going to be catching up with Chad Markley here in just a little bit. Also talking to Eric the Hammer Mulay a little bit about his run with Team Minnesota Style. It was quite the adventure. Ben is joining us here in studio tonight. Let's get a good look at Ben. There's Ben right there. He was hanging out in the parking lot. He didn't know that I was already on the inside. We had a bit of a mechanical problem with the Grand Caravan ripping both right side wheels off of it over the Sunday. So we were able to drop that off at Trombley, and I just walked back up here. And we got all the posts from Blizzard Bash for the Crash Course all put into one spot. We posted that underneath tonight's show link. And then we're going to have the recap tonight. Ben, you had a chance to take in Blizzard Bash up close and personal again this year. You know, what did what'd you think? You know, initial thoughts.
Oh, I think the show ended. It turned out very good. I mean, that's Sam did, like you said. I mean, the Topeka Expo Center. I mean, we talked to Mr. Cook there for a little bit, and they were happy to do all the upgrades and stuff and to help out with the ventilation. The weather couldn't be any better, you know, out there.
Kind of wanted to go back.
Yeah, I mean, once again, a great show. I mean, the show turned out great. The drivers put on a hell of a show. You know, there's sketchy things here and there, you know, throughout the show. But, I mean, it's they worked through them and got got to the positive side of it and overcame some obstacles that were created. And like I said, I think it was a very good show. I mean, it was nothing short of didn't have any shortness of excitement, that's for sure.
Chad Barkley's on the line.
Yeah, Mr. White Gloves himself, Chad.
Mr. White Gloves.
that was part of the lively entertainment we had when you know, Chad was out there and decided he was gonna wave bye bye to people and give them the tell them they're basically their night was ended.
I guess you got to make it a show, right, Chad?
Well, the crowd was liking that a little too much, and I just kind of fell for it for the crowd. We are, at the end of the day, all we are is entertainers. So
you got it.
The crowd was loving it. So,
so tell us a little bit about how emotional that weekend was. You know, Team Kansas running, dedicating the weekend to young Weston there. The young boy with epilepsy who's had all those challenges and so much good stuff going on around that young man, and having the chance for him to be on the show. And they gave him even a microphone so that he could announce in the mm-hmm. arena a little bit. And those final moments when you're stuck nose-to-nose with Dustin Ingram, and then the decision made that to pull you two apart. And from there, Dustin having no steering, you were able to finish that off and get that win for Team Kansas.
Yeah, the whole weekend was great for Weston. I mean, it was, you know, without all the other teams and everybody, you know, making his day, supporting him, we couldn't have done it without everybody's support. And when he got to drive Jimmy's car in the arena and mm-hmm. the rest teams, you know, gave him pretty much a standing O, and I mean, I'm sure that made that little guy's day. So
what's this mean for Team Kansas coming away with a win at a show like Blizzard Bash? Obviously, it's an emotional win because of the stature of the show and all the stuff that was tied to it with Team Weston and that leg of it. But at the same time, this is as big of a show as it is. It's still a hometown show. I mean, Jimmy only lives 45 minutes from there. You're right close by. Same thing with Nick and Justin. What's it like to win this show, being that it's still basically a hometown show?
The competition level is far from a hometown show, but because we can have our fans there close by, it's unbelievable. I mean, totally unbelievable that we finally pulled it off. I mean, we couldn't have done. I mean, the weekend, if you knew how much bad luck we had going from day one, it just was unbelievable that we was able to overcome it all and pick up the win.
Well, for the third year in a row, you guys were basically running with three cars.
Yeah.
Jimmy, he likes to eat popcorn, so he was parking in the arena both the heats and enjoying the show, I guess. I don't know. But we finally got – Scott was over there, Groff, and, of course, that's who Jimmy runs his engines and stuff. So he finally got everything sorted out. So that's a big thanks to Scott for jumping up there and doing – and nothing was his problem. I mean, everything was good. It was just some minor stuff we finally got figured out, and Scott got his head in there a little bit, and we got him put together for the feature. Unlike contrary belief that Jimmy was playing possum, if anybody wants to take a chance and go out there with three, they're more than welcome. It's no fun deal.
Mm-hmm.
Jimmy had that 95-year-old carburetor on it that was hadn't been run since last year, so I guess there was some stuff that had built up inside there, and played a little bit to his advantage, I guess, because he got to go into the feature with a relatively fresh car.
Yeah, I mean, it didn't hurt, but we probably could have been able to take three or four pretty nice cars to the feature if Jimmy hadn't been running, you know, the way things went.
Right.
So it worked out, but I wouldn't want to try it again.
We got a question coming in here regarding the finish of that. First off, take us through it from your perspective. Bobby Whitaker gets hung up on the tire and leaving him stranded against the wall. You came around Jimmy Johnson and went nose to nose with Dustin Ingram. At that point, the red flag flies. Take us through it from your perspective, then we'll get into the question that was sent in by Justin Backus.
Well, I'd been in them situations before, and I knew I had the crowd on my side a little bit, so, you know, that's the last thing I had to my advantage was getting the crowd involved, because whether we lost or won, we didn't come to tie. We just don't play that way.
Right.
We're there to win, and that's what I wanted.
Bringing us to Justin's questions, why would you lobby so hard for fan support if you were just going to bump Justin and back away?
If he wants to look at the wall, I'll tell him how to win some shows.
There you go.
Interesting.
I'm pretty sure I put the hammer down all weekend. If I want to back off on one shot, I'm pretty sure that the rest of the drivers know why.
Absolutely.
I mean, how tough, let me make sure that I word this, because tough isn't the right word. How tense was that meeting trackside when you're down there with promoter Sam Williams? A couple of those guys from IFD are coming out there. A couple of the teammates whose cars have already been disabled coming out there as well. How tense was that conversation that was happening on the track as ultimately the decision was made to pull the two cars apart?
I really truthfully didn't get involved in the decision. I was doing what I needed to do to get the decision to go my way.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to argue. I mean, I had a quick, very, very quick conversation with Sam Williams about it, and there was a bit of a precedent that was set in the feature prior, where a couple cars had been pulled apart. One line of thought that I was very eloquently educated on was that while Markley's car had come around Jimmy and hit, that Jordan, after Chad had backed up, Jordan had come ahead 5 feet and had made an impact, mm-hmm. which would pin Chad up against the front bumper of Jimmy's car. In turn, Jordan stands on the throttle and digs himself a hole.
Mm-hmm.
That being the case, Ben, you know, you're an official. You've been in these situations trackside. That being the case, would the outcome have been different, or would you still pull them apart?
I don't know. A show like that, I mean, the crowd wants a show and they want to finish. I mean, that's the shittiest type of finishes I ever have, is when two guys get hung up like that. And personally, myself, as a driver, I mean, as a driver myself, I would be on, you know, I'd be on Markley's side. I mean, I'd be like, you know what, pull us apart. You know, this is a stellar event. People want to see a finish. You know, it's not like they pulled him apart and separated him a ton. You know, they knew Ingram's steering was gone. You know, they gave him the opportunity to finish it off. Markley, he played it smart. You know, you don't need to back all the way up the other end of the track and send him, because you know what, the stupidest thing could happen, and then Ingram could just back up and tap him and would have been done. You know, so you stick and move, get away, and be done with it. So I guess I would have done the same thing. Yeah. We don't normally do that in our shows, but I think in that type of situation that would have been an exception. You know, and just like I said, just because of the type of the event and the fans want to see a finish, you know, they don't want to see a tie.
I mean, ultimately, yeah. it wasn't. Go ahead, Jed.
That's, I mean, you know, basically we're battling for a national championship. I mean, rather they flagged him the winner and me the winner, I felt like there shouldn't have been a tie. I mean, it's a tough call. I mean, he had the momentum, but I was moving forward.
Yep.
And then I allowed him to shove me backwards while I was sitting there waiting for Bobby to be timed out. I mean, I wasn't getting excited because I didn't feel like there was any reason to get excited until it was down to two of us.
Right.
Also, to revisit another topic that we just hit on a moment ago with that Bobby Whitaker situation getting hung up, the red flag protocol all weekend was bumpers.
Yep.
Or tire connected axle. If it's a loose tire, they'll remove it if there's another stoppage. But it wasn't hard and fast at all to say that we were having red flags just for loose rims and tires in that situation. So, you know, that being the case, that did play out, mirroring the protocol through the course of the weekend. The young man that sent that message in said that he appreciated how you drove as well. So Chad, don't take that one too close to heart. He said he liked the outcome of that show too. I like the fact that our fans want to ask hard questions. Like it.
Yeah. I'll give them the answer. They might not like it, but I'll give them the answer.
Now, by in the off chance when you're answering that, were you waving in the living room at home?
No. I got to explain a little bit about that. Some of the people have taken a little bit too personal. I mean, I was, like I said, at the end of the day, we're entertainers, and the crowd was loving it. We're around my hometown. They know what it's about. That thing goes back to my hometown show about 5 years ago when my nephew and one of his buddies that built out of my garage, they're going to put it to me at the hometown show, and they put the word out around town, and I wasn't supposed to know about it, so I didn't wait for it to get down to the top. I started in on them about the top 10, and every time I'd stroke them one, I'd give them the old wave, and finally I finished them off. But it's just a little inside deal at the hometown shows what it is, and I was having a little too much fun, and the crowd was definitely enjoying it, I thought. Some of them were, some of them weren't, so it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
On the topic of the wave, when it got down to you and Bobby Whitaker and Dustin Ingram, you got the wave a couple times, but it was that sort of the haymaker shot that was able to knock you off the wall and allow you to keep going. How, you know, what was going through your mind when you started seeing that back, and then ultimately after that, how difficult was it to drive against two of those IFD cars?
Oh, they're two of the best drivers around. I mean, no doubt, me and Bobby Whitaker, we've battled mayhem for years. We have great respect for each other. Definitely want to, you know, thank that team for sure. I mean, we knew what we had to do when we went out there, and I didn't think I had it in the bag by any means. I mean, I knew it was going to be a battle, but they was going to have to burn my car down for me to quit. I knew that also, too, and I'm sure Bobby knew that, too. So,
yeah.
Was it just one of those weekends of fate? You know, we joked about it, talked a little bit about Team Kansas being a team of destiny, and then Weston comes out on the lap of Jimmy Johnson, and the whole arena lights up for him. And, you know, Bobby Whitaker, the unfortunate turn of events where he gets hung up, evens the numbers out, and from there on, you know, we know how the rest of it played out. Was it truly a team of destiny?
I'm not going to deny that it wasn't. I mean, we from day one, Jimmy locks up a rear end coming through inspection line. I don't know if you guys knew that, but he locked the rear end up Wednesday night.
Mm-hmm.
And, some of our competitors loaned him a rear end. Daryl Monroe, great competitor. If you need it, Jimmy, I got it. I mean, that's what the sport's supposed to be about. Don't beat us in the pits, you know. Don't walk by and, oh, you know, because somebody's doing this or that in the pits and you want to go whine and cry about it. You know, be a competitor on the track and, you know, help your fellow competitor out with sportsmanship and everything. You know, hats off to Daryl for doing that. I mean, at that level, you'll find a few guys that will do that, but and I think our team's that way and a few of the other teams, you know, Whitaker's team's that way, obviously Monroe's. Just them guys are great guys and great competitors. They'd rather beat you on the track than handicap you some way.
Right.
Jimmy, I think in the 2 weeks leading up to Blizzard Bash, through the end of Blizzard Bash, went through 3 center sections in his rear end?
Yeah, you know, I was busy on my own stuff, so I wasn't I knew he'd be there, and like I told Jimmy, it don't matter if we get 4 cars there. I don't care if Nick's in a Pinto. He's going to run a damn Pinto. He's going to be there. So we're going to have 4 cars going through inspection. I don't care how they get there. So
yeah.
I'm a little frustrated with Jimmy, though, I got to be honest, because when I asked him what car you were building, he said that you were building a 1994 Caprice, and that wasn't that wasn't a 94 Caprice at all.
It was close.
So where to from here? I mean, is this a case where this is going to turn in all sorts of crazy momentum and you're going to go on a storybook run next year and just run the table like Ingram did this year? Or is it something where you get to kick back and not going to have to run again until Blizzard Bash?
No, what Ingram did last year was amazing. I mean, obviously, I mean, he had plenty of things go his way, and he's got talent and good equipment, and it was, you know, if I could come close to that, I'll be doing backflips. But no, I'm not going to sit down. I've got my stuff where I need it. I'm going to hit some shows early in the year, shows, and try to keep the momentum rolling.
Are we going to see you in April?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Nice.
That'll be fun.
I'll probably be in a 94 Caprice.
Perfect. Can't wait. In your opinion, is the Blizzard Bash pace, as it's sort of been come to know, is that going to be reflected in the Capital Carnage show the way it was in the qualifying heats?
My opinion, with 10 competitors supposedly not together out there, it's going to be a little bit slower. With the build, I think you're going to see some good hard driving. Just time will tell. I mean, it's going to be more of a strategy than a Holden Hammer show, I think.
Sure. Brent Clemens reached out to me after we had gotten home, Ben, and said that he didn't really like some of the position that we came from on Saturday during the consolation round, and how that Blizzard Bash pace had sort of come to be lost as those final 4 or 5 cars diced their way through that B main with IFD Toast and the Nearit team and Clemens from the Underdogs, and how we were talking about how they were going soft shoe and they were going a little bit too light. And he said that, you know, maybe we don't understand what they've got invested in the cars.
We understand.
And I told him that. I said, we've been around this long enough to know what's invested in the cars. We get that part. But the position that maybe we missed on it was what we've talked about so many times before, and you can help me out with this, Ben, and Chad can weigh on this as well, is what we didn't bring up, maybe effectively, in Brent's eyes, was the fact that you don't want to be the reason why you don't go to the feature. So if you start backing up and dropping the hammer and going over the top,
They're driving to save their cars to have the most car for the feature.
To
get to the feature. And that's the other side of it. You know, that's where, you know, you could have one guy on your team designated, you know, if you trash your car, you trash your car, but you're the hammer. But a lot of the teams, I felt, they seen that they were up and they could use their driving technique and their driving style in outsmarting and not using a lot of their car up, and if that meant to back off it a little bit and not take half track shots, you know, glory shots, then they chose not to. You can't fault them for that at all. I mean, that's 100% smart driving, because you know what, they have a lot of car left for the feature then.
Right.
Then because it comes down to it, the car's only got so many shots in it, you know, and during the heats, if you don't use, you know, if you don't use a percent of the shots that you don't have to use, so then when you're in the feature, you got that many more shots you can lay on or absorb. So it's all, I mean, people, a lot of people misunderstand it. I mean, it's a science. It's actually a science. I mean, and where Chad, you know, where Chad knows that certain style of cars that they like to drive, they know exactly pretty much how many hits, how many shots that car has in it that it can take and give, you know, and you got to work that out through, especially there. I mean, you potentially might have to run your car four separate times, you know, to get through a worst case scenario.
Right.
So, you know, it's not that we didn't understand, you know, we understand fully what's going on. It's just, from a fan's point of view, people in the stands, you know, you could call them bleacher drivers, you know, a lot of people in the stands, you know, they see that fast pace come out the first couple heats. Now, next thing you know, you get a team that has a little bit different mindset, and they know they're going to be at the end, and they want to be at the end, and they want to be there for the championship. They're not going to back up. They're going to think twice about taking them hammer shots from across the track because they want enough car left at the end. You know, at the end of the weekend, right.
You don't want to be the reason why by laying some haymaker shot and you break your block.
Yeah, because you
and
know
now
what?
You're left sitting there.
They'll remember you then, but they're going to remember a national champion. You know, all year long. Sooner. You know, so it's the one way. That's the way I look at it.
Yep. Well, I was kind of hoping the rest of them would forget about the national champion deal.
Was there anybody when you're watching that B main that you were thinking, boy, I really hope they don't get out of this?
Yeah, about every one of them. and you know, going back to the end of that B main, me as a driver, the way you know, I can put it out there and take my shots with the best of them, and I can back her off there with the best of them. But I enjoy the ending and watching the true drivers come out, mm-hmm. not the guys that are overbuilt that have the better cars.
Right.
I enjoy the driving aspect of it more than the Hail Mary shots because,
right.
let's face it, we can put anybody out there for a Hail Mary shot, but you put somebody out there that can avoid them and somebody out there that can pick their wheels off or ruin their day, you know, in one or two shots and they don't even know what happened to them.
Yep.
That's what it's about. And Clemens and them guys, they're good. I mean, he didn't do nothing wrong. He was driving his wheels off.
Mm-hmm.
He was the only man out there, and he was the pinball, and he made them work for it.
Right.
Yeah, he did a nice job. And they're defending champions. I mean,
yeah.
There's you can't take anything away from them.
They
did a great job in their own right, and they certainly had their work cut out for them with the quality of cars that they are out there against, and that takes nothing against them, nothing away from them at all. So I had a great conversation with Brent. By the way, I mean, going back and forth and talking to him about kind of some of the points that we brought up, but I wanted to make sure that we mentioned that because that was something that was important to Brent, and I like hearing from Brent. I mean, certainly it's nothing, no harm, no foul, but I wanted to get that perspective out there in case anybody hadn't thought about that because you don't want to be the reason why you don't get into that Blizzard Bash main event.
Yeah, I mean, if you look, I mean, this year, I mean, and from my looking at it, this was the toughest field of cars that's ever been there from top to bottom. The competition level was unreal.
There was very, very little difference between the top placing, I guess so to say, the favorites in the national ranks, all the way down to the most unfavored qualifying team.
Yeah.
The percent difference was very, very little.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the Siopas when they came in. They were somewhat looked at, and they were looking at some other teams out there saying, these guys, what are they bringing here? And those guys they were up against were heavy hitters. Hey, Chad, what'd you think about going up against those Cordobas?
You know, them guys, they're great guys, and they built a Chrysler. I mean, I'm telling you what,
uh-huh.
that was, you know, them cars did not fold. they did their homework. After last year, they went to bat and they put together a heck of a team. I mean, it was, you know, I'm not going to stand here and tell you that we'd sure want to take them on again because that'd probably be one of the last teams we'd take on because they drive hard and they're going to bend you if they get to you.
Right.
That was the team of Sam Bando, as I've learned to pronounce his name correctly now, after the last 2 years of calling him the wrong thing. Sam Bando and Montsweat, TJ McPhee, and Nick Wolf,
yep,
with those Cordobas. We talked quite a bit about them, and they paired off with Chad's crew, mm-hmm, out there in the second round on the winner's bracket, which ultimately Team Kansas won that and went on to the championship feature. Mile High Contracting going back to the B main and having to requalify through, which was eventually won by Team Near It, mm-hmm, with Don Santel outlasting the last two IFD Toast cars. But it was a great show. And Chad, as you said, there was no soft pairing at all.
No, no, and I don't foresee it getting any easier.
No, unless he backs off on a build. I mean, the build this year, I thought pretty much made it equal across the board. I mean, the Vicks weren't dominant because it gave the old iron just a kind of an advantage in my eyes, you uh-huh know, because it's, you know, the way the build was, and you could utilize the weight and utilize the actual beefiness and the strength of the old iron cars, you know, and that, and they were bending the Vicks this year. I was loving it.
But it's looking like DMP not back in the national bracket. Excuse me. No, that's not right. DMP ended up holding on to their spot. It was the black and green team, I believe, that ended up losing that spot, correct?
Yeah, it's because
somebroke a stick down.
Yeah, Steve Salper broke his stick.
Yes.
Which in turn let
Kyle Puttawitter with DMP,
yes,
get a spot ahead. Yep. And I think the black and green team broke their stick down, mm-hmm, before Team Busch Light. So Busch Light looks like they're going to be keeping their spot, and black and green going to the qualifiers bracket, Team Minnesota style, moving up into the national bracket. We'll be talking to Eric the Hammer Mulet here in a little bit, catching him just at the end of his school day over there in California on the West Coast. What we'll do is we'll take a quick break here. Chad, before we let you go, it's always good catching up with you. Is there anybody that you want to make mention of here?
Well, I mean, all the teams, you know, it was a great show. You know, Sam and the gang did a good job. I mean, they got some problems straightened out early on. So, you know, we battled through them. Everybody else had problems. I mean, so, you know, it was just everybody. I mean, the crowd for supporting Weston. You guys did a great job there. That's part of the, that's now part of the Blizzard Bash, you guys. I mean, you guys make the show also.
We certainly try to. I ended up doing the calculations, Ben. If you count our pre-shows, our Finger Lakes 1 content, and the amount of time that we were on the pay-per-view itself, we talked for 40 straight hours, in excess of 40 straight hours.
Yeah, and I don't like to talk.
I know.
Yeah, that was...
I said we, the collective.
Yeah.
Yes, because you just don't always want to talk.
No.
You're the silent observer.
Yeah. People don't like to hear sometimes what I got to say, so...
I think everybody likes to hear. See, that's the thing. Is Josh and I were talking about that. Everybody likes to hear what you have to say, Ben. Because if Ben's saying it, everybody sits up in the chair. Well, wait a minute. What did he just say? I got to catch that.
Yeah. Well, sometimes, yeah. It could go either way, but... No, truth. I enjoyed it. I had a blast.
For Ben,
you know, I had a lot of fun. I mean, I have a lot of fun every year out there and getting to talk to everybody and talk to a few more different people this year and
yeah. Yeah, I definitely had more fun this year than last year, and then my one hit wonder I had last year. So I had nowhere to go up, and it was kind of a relaxing weekend for that reason, I guess.
Yeah.
And we had a good time in our pits. I mean, all the bad luck Jimmy had.
Yep.
I just kept razzing him and keeping him driving toward the positive side of things instead of getting all bitter. So
yep,
it's good. Yep. Somebody has to do that.
Yeah, for sure.
Awesome. Well, we're gonna jump into that break. Chad, as always good talking to you. I appreciate you coming on the show, and once again, congratulations on that win.
Thank you. And anytime, guys. You guys do a great job, and it's always a pleasure talking.
Thanks a lot, Chad. There goes Chad Markley with Team Kansas. Winners of the 2015 Blizzard Bash. We're going to jump into this real quick, and we will be right back. Dillman Derby Masters offers a wide array of stock derby parts and accessories that have all been derby tested. Demo Derby Masters also offers custom fabrication, meaning your homespun garage idea can become a finely produced reality. Their team of engineers and Demo Derby drivers have designed, manufactured, and derby tested all parts to ensure the quality and durability, even though they're in extreme conditions. DemoDerbyMasters.com also carries a full line of helmets, fire suits, gloves, and belts,
and Kaiser's own branded oil and food. Parts are manufactured, housed, and shipped out of their 140,000 square foot facility located in Coopersville, Michigan. Order online at demoderbymasters.com or contact them by phone at 800-472-2464 or email info@demoderbymasters.com.
The Crash Course Podcast is proud to thank Overkill Derby Products for their continued support. Overkill is one of the original Derby-specific vendors to jump up as the sport was exploding, and like their equipment, they're still standing. Overkill specializes in engine cradles, mounts, shifters, and gas pedals. Overkill also remains one of the only sources for Chrysler and Mopar engine armor. Jump online, check out Jeff at Overkill, tell them you heard about Overkill on the Crash Course Podcast. That's Overkill Derby Products at OverkillDerby.com.
The Crash Course would like to thank DerbyParts.com. An industry leader in aftermarket parts, DerbyParts.com has become the go-to source for builders looking to make one stop for all their derby needs. A proud partner of the Reckless Warrior Series and a title sponsor at the Bash for Cash, DerbyParts.com offers products from the top manufacturers in industry, including fellow Reckless Warriors partners Brian Neer and Big Rock Derby Products, and performance aftermarket standouts MSD, Edelbrock, Schoenfeld, and Samson Tires. Inventory includes cradles, ultrabell, sliders, flex plates, pedal kits, mounts, fans, radiators, adapters, tanks, and much, much more. DerbyParts.com truly offers one-stop shopping for builders ready to perform at any level. Go online and check them out. From bumper to bumper, you can find it on DerbyParts.com.
And we are back. Going to be catching up with Eric Boulay here in just a few minutes. Just wanted to make a quick mention. Brad Tice. Still raffling off that Riviera. A couple tickets still available for that. It's only $100 a shot, and right now he's going to cap it at 50.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, if he's still capping it at 50.
So he's capping it at 50, and they're going fast. So you need to get in on that thing. Still have a couple tickets left for the New Year's show coming up in the 31st of December. If you're thinking about it, it's time to start thinking about getting off the fence, because we got to start turning in some final numbers here coming up fairly quick. I can't believe how fast this has been rolling on. If you don't want to get your money in, at least give me an RSVP on it so that I can help turn those numbers in, and then we can just catch up with you at the door. That is still an option. You can jump online. SmashedEmpireMedia.com has more information about that. Also has more information about Brad Tice. While we were at Blizzard Bash, Brad got me pictures of the car, that roller.
Nice.
Very nice. I'm going to be getting those pictures updated here. It's been hectic since we got back. And on top of that, we've got another issue of the magazine ready to come out. Volume 3, Issue 2 is already on top of us. We got to get that thing through. And got notes today from Phil over at the Kansas Expo Center and Sam and Melissa, all letting me know that the hard drive is going to be dropped in the mail tomorrow. So we'll start working on getting that Blizzard Bash DVD together. Thankfully, with the sounds of things, it's going to be much, much smoother than last year. Last year was rough trying to pull in 6 and 7 hour long snippets. Yeah. And this year it looks like all the individual heats were broken down. Much, much more manageable bites. So we'll be able to pull those in and get that stuff put together. Also, it sounds like it's a live mix. So it's just a matter of pulling those in, cutting the ends off it, and sending it, not quite the way that we usually do the DVDs otherwise. Because, I mean, let's face it, Saturday's show alone was, what, almost 10 hours long?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was. That's the thing. I mean, the people that made the trip, and we tell people to make the trip all the time, you know, it seems like a chunk of cash, and it's like a vacation out there. But I tell you what, if diehard derby guys by the end of this weekend are pretty much ready for a break, you know, so you're going to get your money's worth, you're going to get your fill, and that's why you shouldn't be any shortage of pictures for the magazine, because
no, they're all, you know, over the place.
And
on top of that, Jill Lancaster,
yeah, I feel bad because I'm not good with names, but Jill probably snapped 5,000 pictures when she was out there, probably, you know, and there are other people snapping pictures, but.
Well, my snap camera, I gave it to Jake Sherman.
Okay.
So he was taking pictures all weekend, too. I haven't even seen the camera back. So, he can't put it in the box of so many photos on that thing, you know what I mean? But, give a rundown a little bit here on what exactly we saw through the course of Blizzard Bash. We've got about 10 minutes or so before we're going to catch up with the Hammer as everybody keeps telling me to call him. I get the feeling he doesn't necessarily embrace that nickname.
I don't know if he does or not, but he definitely was driving that caddy. He was driving people out of their seats, that's for sure.
He did it with a broken hand.
Yes.
Remember that?
Yep.
Hand brace.
Yep.
Shook hands with him, and he yelled at me. I got to relive that whole Bob McCready experience again from Weedsport years and years ago. As if I did. I needed to do that, too. Couldn't wait. HTRC sweeping the RC top five. Jordan Rutherford coming away with the win, and that David Tillery second place. 50 cars turning out for the RC.
Yeah,
Derby.
There was a. But I walked into the arena. I'm like, holy shit! It's been taken over by RC cars. They were everywhere, and it seemed like that everybody had a real good time with that, and people popping in, checking it out. You know, drivers popping in, checking it out, and you know, saying it's cool. And I see people posting. You know, afterwards, seeing it, people posting. Yeah, I just spent $600 to have my kid wreck his RC. You know, wreck some RC cars, and you know, so it's definitely it's an upcoming, definitely attraction, you know.
Yeah, it was
yeah,
cool.
I think
there's been a very hard push to convert next year's program to a team format. And there's going to be a lot of changes for the rules next year in terms of what is and isn't allowed so that everything stays a little bit more even, because there were some folks that were doing some very, very innovative things in the pits that were very, very not allowed.
Yeah, using fix-it plates on them, probably.
Zach Anderson drove one of my cars. He ended up getting seventh overall. His boy took a car. I can't remember his name. Blanking on his name. He drove one of Brandon Tyson's cars, mm-hmm. made it into the feature. Josh Farrell, he ended up sixth from down in Virginia. There was kids from there from Washington. They were able to get their cars in. Ended up starting 20-some cars in the feature. It was pretty neat. Good time had by all. Matt Stenberg, he was a plateful, the Stenberger. However, made some bad decisions. He wanted to finish it with a haymaker, and as we talked about before, he made one final haymaker on Eric Tatey and knocked him loose and ended up Tatey coming away with the win in that. We got a note here. He wants to be the hammer, not the nail, so he's okay with the nickname Jill Lancaster filling us in on the nickname for Eric Millay. Eric coming away with a win in that Old Iron Modified show. Old Iron Modified show. I mean, great feature.
Yes. There wasn't a crappy one out there. I mean, they were all great. I mean, the trucks we thought were going to be, wow, there's too many trucks. It might be kind of a, you know.
It's going to be a two-hour feature. We said it was going to be a two-hour feature. We could not have been more wrong.
We were totally wrong. I mean, guys, you tipped. Guy, you know,
Paul Cox.
Paul Cox going, I mean, wheel stand in his truck when he's coming across the track and then just get blasted and he's done, you know. Mavis, Muse, whatever you want to call him. I call him Muse.
So. Carl.
But he wheel broke off. I mean, it just, there's, them trucks were, they were
outstanding.
Yeah, they were definitely some excitement in that. The Outlaw cars, first time I've ever seen
backing that up. Caleb Steidinger coming over with the win. And that with those trucks, the officials making evasive moves so that they could get out of the way because the length of the wheelbase for those trucks, when they got up to the front of the bed, the cab stretched over the wall to the point where the bumper was almost touching the perimeter wall mm-hmm. of the concrete and, you know, front row seats.
That's what Mr. Cook was saying. He goes, he was going, oh, shit, there goes my brand new bleachers.
Yeah.
You know, and because they were. I mean, they were
up there.
They were nothing short of excitement, that's for sure. But
Shea Walden close to the double down, he came away with the win of the modifieds you were talking about.
Yes, Shea's a wheel man. I mean, he's like Mark Lee was saying. You know, there's the guys, there's the drivers you really like to watch. Then there's, you know, like people nickname them steering wheel holders, ladle heads, whatever you want to call it. But the guys that really like knocking people out of their seats. But Shea's just one of them guys. I mean, he's a driver and he proved it. I mean, he took a lighter car out there and basically smoked them pretty much, you know. And I'd never seen – it was a first for me seeing an Outlaw car rolled over. And
there was two,
that,
right?
That, there was, well, two of them. The one guy I think was just – it was a deal where I think he was overbuilt and didn't want to cut nothing, so he just went and played with them guys. And because he hit the ass end of that wedged outlaw car thinking he was going to fold it in, and it was just like Evel Knievel. I mean, he went right, he tossed her, you know, went over, batteries came flying out. I mean, it was, he was having fun, though. He gave us the old thumbs up. And
that was Willie Lochner from up in Montana.
Yeah, he was wound right up. He was having a good time.
The thing is he told us he was going to do it.
Yeah.
Couple nights before that, we ran into him, and he said in the modifieds, I am going to waste my car. And when he did you see the bag of Doritos fall out of it?
Yeah, yeah. Everything coming out of that. But I know the Klaus wasn't too happy when he got rolled.
How do you flip 13,000 pounds?
Well, I mean,
you hit it with 15,000 pounds.
Yeah, I mean, with a wedge. I mean, with a wedge. But he just, you know, I see where his upset was, but you know, it was kind of a bummer, you know, because he's not; those cars aren't designed to be under roofs. So, Ben Plate had a good run with that.
Very good run.
You know, with his, and once again, he, you know, sheared the roof post off again just from the impacts,
which is crazy.
Says he's done that a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I said, well, you got to start sheeting the pillars then.
Ben Plate driving an Imperial that was built before he was born.
Yep.
Which was pretty impressive. We talked about a couple of the full-size divisions, the compact divisions. Levi Skillman jumping in, winning the compact modified feature in a remarkable run. There was an all sorts of mishmash of entries that were out there for that with the Broncos and some of the S10s. I think there was a Chevy Love that was out there.
Yeah.
The Fox Body Mustangs.
And we were making fun of them. We were saying, man, because usually the Broncos and that usually are dominating out there. Like, man, and I'm walking through the special line. I'm like, man, them things are I mean, they were nasty. They were flat sprung. They were just super nasty. Then we're like, we're making fun of this little Chevy Love and S10 or whatever. It's like, yeah, what the hell is that guy doing out there? Well, they were the last ones running.
Yep.
You know, they were smoking them guys. I was like, holy shit. I had to find a Chevy Love or something.
Nate Biddendorf also out there with those compact modifieds. Compact open division, compact stock division. Randy Maslowski, second year in a row, coming away with a win in that. And this time he did it with no back wheels.
No back wheel and a flat front tire. So, I mean, he was, you know, it was his boy that ran with him, right?
Yeah.
He did excellent for quite a while, and then I don't know what mechanically, it must be something went wrong with him mechanically, but.
Well, Dad programmed that would run just long enough to let Dad win, apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. But yeah, I didn't get a chance to catch up with Randy all weekend. I mean, I think a couple of you guys, I think, caught up with him, but I didn't get to talk to him.
And he sent me a message saying, hey, we didn't catch up, we need to finalize that deal for Winter Slam.
Yeah. And, but he just, once again, I mean, being a defending champion out there, I mean, you have a target on your back, you know, and they were going after him.
Absolutely.
Mean, they were honing in on him, but he just, Randy's a driver too, you know, and he just showed us, he outdrove him.
You were talking about Randy's boy doing a nice job. Youth division, Coy Lemming coming away with the win, and those youth drivers left nothing on the table.
Oh, Samson. Samson out there with that Cordova.
Coming back out with the stocks later.
Yep. It was like, oh, my God. He just, that kid's going to be a hell of a driver. I mean, he mm-hmm. already is. And once he gets a couple more years of seat time in, he'll be another Logan Duvall. He'll be another Colt Newhoffen. He'll be another, you know, I'm sure I'm forgetting guys. But the younger guys coming up through, it's just, it's great to see it, really. I mean, it's great to see the young kids like that coming up through. Young ladies, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's a couple young girls in there.
Ryan Woolman.
Yep. And she was doing excellent. And I have a good time seeing that. I really do.
And then he came back out with that stock division. And I don't remember who hit him. It might have been Eric that tagged him, and it broke the leaf spring whole rear end right from underneath that Cordova.
Yeah, I think he sheared the spring perches to start with, and it was just chucking back and forth, and then it finally broke the leaf spring and broke the rear end right loose, and she came out. But he got his money's worth out of that Nova, I know that.
Coy Lemming again winning the youth division. 80s modified, one of the divisions where we saw more of Shea Walden's handiwork.
Yep.
Out there, Dookie Scroach having a good run. Chris Johnson coming away with the win in the 80s. modified. New stock show, Travis Bowden, mm-hmm. coming away with the win there in that black car with the Batman logos. We've seen him run so well in that time and time again. And Travis coming away with the win in the 80 style stock division. And rounding out, covering all the bases, Jake Leneau. Surprise win, I got to believe, in that old iron stock feature mm-hmm. was a great run there.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And that was the one that I like watching the old iron run and you know, I got to give it. I mean, I got to put it out there. I mean, I got to give it to him. I mean, if Josh is here, he'd be doing backflips, you know. And we're just the Mopars.
Hi, I'm trying to reach Eric Malay, please.
The Mopars over that weekend was just crazy. I mean, the Dobas did very well. The other Mopars that came out there and ran, they definitely represented real well out there.
How about Jason Dials with his shocker?
Jason Dials shocker, and he had a nasty Doba he built last year.
Let me plug you in. Here.
And he brought a shocker out this year to get a little bit more oomph, and he just
did. Did Josh ever get his $100 from Shaggy? Because I'm pretty sure that even though the rear end was completely busted out from underneath Kenny Rosno's Cadillac, it never did go in the dirt.
Yeah, the ass end didn't go in the dirt. So I don't.
None of it went in the dirt.
No, I don't. I don't think he ever. I don't know if he caught up with Shaggy or not. But
Shaggy,
we'll mark that down, and that'll be the when he wants to make a bet next year. We got to say you got to pay up from last year first.
One of the guys that got up close and personal with KO Motorsports was one Eric the Hammer Mule with Team Minnesota Style, winning the qualifying team bracket. Eric, man, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing?
We're doing all right. Can you hear us okay? Yeah, how was that drive back to California?
besides being robbed, Albuquerque and getting my torch leads and gauges and all kinds of shit stolen and getting sideways on the freeway and ice pulling a trailer, oh, it was great.
Yeah,
wow.
It sounds like it was a ball. Eric Malou joining us. Are you still at school out there?
School?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in my office. I'm at work.
Oh, okay. I thought you were wrapped up over there at work. I'm glad we were able to catch up with you here. Take us through your Blizzard Bash experience running with Team Minnesota Style.
I'm really happy those guys asked me to drive with them. I mean, it was.
I think they're happy too.
Yeah. Well, told them I said we're either going to do good. Win, lose, get our asses handed to us, whatever. It's definitely going to be a good experience, and it definitely was. I mean, a lot of hardworking guys right there. It was pretty nerve-wracking, stressful, joyful, all of it, all at one.
So, I mean, now that you guys have punched your ticket into the national bracket next year, are you going to be coming back with the same team next year?
Oh, yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, you bet.
Didn't even miss a beat.
As far as I know, is there something you know that I don't know?
I'm not at liberty to disclose such topics right now.
Yeah, as far as I know, yeah. I'm going to be picking up my car for next year here in a couple weeks.
Mitch Carlson, Neil Jerry also joining Chris Lancaster. And what a great time it was watching those guys drive
because they
lived up to every bit of what they promised with that Minnesota Style. How tough was it getting acclimated to the Blizzard Bash pace, as it were? We've talked about this and how fast they drive, how fast they come off the line, and then on top of that, how much work you have to do in between to get your car ready to basically run three features or four features over the course of three or possibly even four nights.
Yeah, the pace, I was okay with the pace. I liked the fast-paced driving. That wasn't really a big issue. Standing on the gas and driving around. Thing is, those other guys, they can drive too. They're good at it. So, I mean, they're coming for you.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, you know, getting the cars in the pits, I had a amazing pit crew on my car. I had Kenneth and Ryan Shivers from Shivers Racing up in San Jose.
Okay.
Jeff Kirby from up in Yosemite that belongs to the Mountain Mafia drivers up there, and David Ritchie, number five. And those guys worked their asses off all day on that car. It was really insane to watch those guys go to town on my car. It was great.
And you guys didn't have a soft pool to pull from at all with the Midwest Mod Squad. You had Colt Newhoffen and Team Extreme in there as well. You had KO Motorsports, who they turn their stuff into junk every time they come out onto the track. And
in battle.
Yeah.
KOM, it got ugly. It was a battle. Mm-hmm. I mean, that was tough.
Think of some of the crazy failures that we saw. You know, JYD turning that drive shaft into a U.
Yep.
How many different blocks did we see damaged under those? Trailing arms breaking loose and being held in place only by the sliding drive shaft, yep, and chucking back and forth with like, yeah, what we saw in Kenny Rosno's car.
We kept saying with the way the build was. I mean, the way the build let them really build a nasty hard car this year. I mean, and taking away the frequent bend points, it was that's what we kept saying. Cars are going to bend
somewhere.
Yeah, cars are going to bend in a freaky spot that nobody's really knows yet, and it's kind of going to be a learning curve for everybody after the first round. And but
I hope they do it again next year. I hope they leave the rules exactly the same.
Yeah, I mean,
put that note in.
Those cars were stupid hard. I mean, stupid hard.
The thing that I like the most about this is Ben was just saying, is how hard they were, and they were going to bend in strange spots. Is they had that kicker that was allowed to not tie in, but lock into the dash bar.
Yes.
Right.
Which made that rotation point on the front. So if you weren't hitting perfectly square, how many cars did we see just accordion and pucker at the spring pocket, and that bumper would shift sideways one way or another, and it would just rock right backwards. So they're pulling off the track with one frame rail that's 5-6-8 inches shorter on the right side or the left side because they didn't hit square.
I loved it because it equaled the playing field with old iron and Vicks again.
Mm-hmm.
It basically took that advantage away from the Vicks that they've had in previous years, and the way the builds were. Now it's right back. I like it because I say the Vicks got certain build rules years ago. They got certain build rules that allowed them to kind of have an advantage over old iron. Now, the way the rules were this year, it kind of leveled that off. Mm-hmm. So now you were seeing old iron hitting headlight to headlight with Vicks and turning them inside out. And I love that. I'm an old iron guy. I mean, I love seeing the old iron come back and wreck shit. I mean, that's yeah, the way I like. It's the Vicks. I mean, don't get me wrong, the Vicks are a nasty hard car, but now that it it's kind of a leveled off again build wise, it's not giving one more of an advantage over the other. It's allowing the natural dimensions and everything else, like the size of the car and the weight of the car and everything else, now it comes into play more, mm-hmm, than just how much plate you can put on it, you know.
Eric, did you learn anything in terms of something that you would add to your build for next year? Having been out there and seen the cars up close?
As a matter of fact, I learned a couple things.
Like?
And I'm not going to tell you.
No. Nope.
That was worth a shot.
Yeah. No, there's a couple things that I saw that I did that if they have the rules the same next year, I'm going to tweak a few things. Definitely, I think it'll make my front end harder.
Yeah.
Perfect.
People were getting very, very, very very unique and very creative with their plates on the front and how they were, you know, roll forming plates and creating that.
Yeah, I gave mine to Ryan Shivers, and he says, "What do you want me to do with these?" And I said, "Dude, you're better than me, man. You put them where you think they should go."
Yep.
And he says, "Okay." And he went to town.
But there's definitely going to be, people are going to see after this year, after running your cars, like I'm sure, like you ran your car, you've seen where it bent in different spots. Mm-hmm. So now, man, maybe next year, maybe I'll put my down tube here in a different spot, or put a down tube over here in a different spot, you know, and it's, there's going to be, they were super hard this year, and now people are going to take that
and learn
evolve. And learn it from this year. Now they're going to be even harder next year, and you know, it's just, and then it just moves that bend point to a different spot. I mean, people will be constantly adjusting, but they're still going to be nasty. I mean, it's crazy.
Mine kind of. I don't know if I just stupid luck or whatever, but mine, the way it bent, I was happy with it. It pushed.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And when it pushed, it went right where it just wasn't going to push anymore.
Right, locked right in. Yep.
And it was like, oh, this is nice. And I wish they would allow us to build cars like that out here. There's no, I mean, we can't use distributor protectors. We can't use tranny braces. They don't allow us to use anything out here. So this was, I mean, this build was okay, let's put things together and see what I could do. And my teammates kind of started getting mad at me because they were like, man, that Malay, he asks a lot of questions.
Are you going to
we can't do it out here, so with this.
Yeah, it's a big tease when you can do it there, and then when you go back and run where you normally run and you can't do it, you know, that sucks.
Yeah, the mentality out here is, if we allow a distributor protector on a car, nobody will come to the Derby.
Really?
Huh. That's what they say. Oh, nobody will show up. Well, how about a tranny brace? Oh, no, nobody will show up if you allow that. That stuff's too expensive and makes a build too hard. Too hard to build, that is.
Huh. It's actually easier.
Well, right?
Yeah, it's actually easier.
Oh, well.
Are you staying in the same wheelhouse for next year in terms of your car selection? Are you gonna get crazy and start going different directions with smaller wheelbases? That's what I thought.
No, I already have my car for next year, and let's just say it has a large wheelbase.
Mm.
It's not a small car.
Okay,
no.
So I'll stay with something that I'm more used to driving. I like Cordovas, but my teammate won't let me bring Cordovas.
Which teammate's that?
All of them?
I mean,
don't like Cord.
It's funny you should say
that.
They don't
like Cordovas at all.
Neil Jerry told me that you were bringing an AMC next year. He told me you were bringing a Gremlin.
Yeah.
He said you were building a Gremlin.
I got like Gremlins. Gremlins are awesome. They just happen to know a guy with a few of those, too.
Oh, boy.
But I tell you that the whole engine cradle, dash bar, I mean, we saw some guys that had their DPs bend.
Mm-hmm.
If they got pushed in. And I bought the ski cradle with the half inch, and I'm thinking to myself, maybe I should have got the one inch.
Yeah.
Jeez.
But I haven't even looked at it yet to see if it bent. My car is sitting on the trailer in front of my house still. I haven't touched it.
Just letting everybody know how well you did, right? Remind the neighbors.
Oh, well, like
I can't cut it up. I don't have any torches. They got ripped off.
Well, true.
Yeah. What's going to happen is, like I told Brodzinski, I was like, you know what? I says, your one inch cradle, everything else is good, but a set of rules like this, you need to run a 2-inch mid plate.
Huh. Wow, that's a lot of weight.
Well, that's what it comes down to. That's the point it's coming down to now with the 1-inch cradles and all the protectors and everything else. You're adding that much more weight to that much more mass and motion that cause, you know, that's where I was getting to earlier, was saying with the old iron cars are becoming more dominant because it's the sheer mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you already have.
Have to pull that extra over the friggin', you know, Flagstaff, Arizona, 7,335 feet, and from here to there, it's uphill.
You have to upgrade the tow rig.
I'm serious. I mean, burning fuel, like, oh man, I don't want any more weight in my truck. I'll stick with the half inch.
There you go. Just run gussets.
Yeah. Eliminate a couple gussets here and there.
Oh, I'd add them. I'd add all gussets everywhere.
I'll leave them off, and I'll build it when I get there.
There you go.
So I don't have to pull it all the way there.
There you go.
Yeah.
Was it difficult driving Blizzard Bash with as tough as some of those impacts were with the hand the way that it was? Eric breaking his hand, or his wrist rather, at one of the derbies earlier this year. Was it a challenge at all? Did you feel that jarring through that?
Driving with the right hand is kind of tough. It's hard to turn the wheel very well. But, I mean, I had it taped up really tight. A friend of mine, Kenneth Shivers, gave me some good weightlifting wrist bands. And I put those on, cinched them up, taped it up like crazy. It was the wrist really wouldn't move at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And I also set my seat back further.
Right.
So my steering wheel was at complete arm's length. And I wear a 4-point, so I wasn't going forward.
Right.
So my arms were fully stretched out the whole time to the steering wheel because I didn't want to break it again. I have to go fishing in 13 weeks, and it wouldn't heal in time for me to go fish.
Where are you going fishing?
Offshore for 14 days.
Wow.
Well, that sounds like
tuna.
Tuna fishing. Wicked tuna. There you go.
Yeah, exactly.
Nice.
Out in the ocean for 14 days. I go every year.
That's awesome. Man, that sounds like
fun. It's fun.
Nah.
So from here, are you done then for the year? No more derbies until we get into 2016?
I don't have anything here. In fact, the only thing I really know about here is not till July.
Yeah. Wow.
So at least that I'm going to go to right now. I don't have anything else except one in July and one in August. And the August is a chain and bang card, and it's already done. It's just sitting there.
Now, being out in the warmer climate like that, I mean, is there a opportunity to run derbies like every month, or is there an on season, off season?
No, I think the first one around here is in May.
Yeah.
But it's always on my wife's birthday. Mm-hmm. But I usually go anyway. But I don't think I'm going to go to that one this year. But they don't really start till May, and they don't really have them every month. They're all far up north. They're all a good solid 4.5-5 hour drive one way.
Wow.
For me,
right
where I live. So I just, there's no such thing as a close derby. My closest derby is 20 minutes, and then the next one is 3 hours, and then the next one after that is 4.5 hours.
Wow.
So I kind of pick and choose which ones I'm going to go to.
Right.
And I'm getting old.
What's the likelihood, you know, not necessarily with the car, that we might run into you at Winter Slam this year?
Me at Winter Slam? No, it's same time I'm fishing. I can't go.
Oh, okay. Darn.
It's
probably going to be better to be out in that ocean anyway, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. When is Winter Slam?
13th of February.
Yeah, I get back February 8th, so...
So perfect.
Pretty sure my wife would pack my bags and put everything outside if I got off the boat 15 days and then got on a plane to go derby.
Well, what if she packed her bags with yours and you both got on a plane and went to a derby?
Nah, she wouldn't do that. No, especially if it's cold. She's from snow, and she doesn't really ever want to go back to snow.
That's why she moved to warm climate.
That's why she moved out of snow.
Yeah.
I understand that.
Because I just don't get it. I don't know how you guys can live in that shit. I really don't.
Neither do we. We got our first
shovel snow one time, and that would be to get my car out of the driveway and leave.
we had snow this morning.
We did. Yeah, we had.
Oh.
There was several. Several car accidents on my way to school. I saw like a 97 F-150 flipped over just west of Hanson Aggregate.
Yeah.
Upside down against the trees. It wasn't for this one tree that was like this big around. I mean, this big around. Stop that thing from going all the way down an embankment into a river.
It's always as good for entertainment because first snow around here, it's...
Oh, my God.
You got all the wing nuts out there that think they're still driving NASCAR, and they end up upside down.
Oh, we get
down
that with rain.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, what did we get last year? 4 inches of rain? For the year?
You guys did?
For the year?
I think so. I think that's what we got last
year. We got over 4 inches one weekend.
Yeah, no, we don't do that here. No. We need it, but
yeah, you guys don't
get it.
Drought stage out there.
Has that improved at all?
No, absolutely not.
No. Well, I can box up some snow for you if you want it.
Yeah.
This morning we weren't even supposed to get snow, and there was
they were calling for it.
Oh, were they?
Yeah.
I didn't catch any of that. I thought we were basically trace at most.
11 o'clock news last night said we were supposed to get it.
The thing is meteorologists, you can be wrong 80% of the time and be an award winning meteorologist.
Yeah.
Right. Come on.
Setting the standard pretty low there, huh?
Yeah. Yep. Could be somewhere between 60 degrees and 30 degrees with partly cloudy skies and possibly rain or snow.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. It's supposed to be 60 by the end of the week.
A trace to an inch. That's how they rate around here.
Yep.
So do you guys have any idea if they're going to keep the rules the same for next year? You got to heard something.
I heard that you need to stay tuned to the rules packages. There's going to be some additional stuff that's coming out. I believe that stuff will be... And I don't want to speak out of school. I believe that all that stuff should be finalized sometime around Capital Carnage.
Yeah.
They usually try to have that stuff
wrapped
up. Those
guys put on a hell of a good show. They really do.
It was awesome, wasn't it?
It's organized.
They have a schedule and adhere to it. That's one of the things that we love about that show is that you know for sure when everything's going to start.
Yeah, it was definitely one hell of an experience. I'm glad I did it, and I'm looking forward to next year again. Going to be a good time. Win or lose or whatever, next year's competition is, I guess, even harder. I mean, I know it is. I looked at the guys' cars, and next year it's just going to be more insane, I guess.
It's weird to say it, but it's like there is a level above which you guys were against. And any one of those guys that you were against can compete at that next level. But there's such a – at the same time, there's such a – I don't know. Is it fair to say, Ben? Is it fair? There's such a mystique running against Team Nearit and what used to be Team Guard, now Team IFD with Bobby Brockway's crew with Ryan Durham and Team Kansas and DMP and that group.
They always bring their A game, but it just seems like every year, you know, you think you've seen it all.
Yes.
You know, and then every year it's constantly evolves. It's evolving and evolving and evolving.
A 1-inch gas tank.
Yeah. Well, he had 1-inch on one side and I think it was 3/4 or 5/8 on the other side, but the 1-inch was on the back side.
Good Lord.
Yeah. But it didn't.
And he has it, and he's got it for a boat anchor or something.
Yeah, that didn't work to his advantage because he still broke the neck off his fuel cell. So.
Yeah. That was
that was freaky.
Yeah. Shit breaks.
Yep. When you make stuff, you can only make stuff so hard, and then stuff starts really, really shearing, and then you can only make it so hard, you know. But
hopefully it won't be me breaking. That's key.
Well, you got the learning curve you're in now, so now you know what you can, now you know what to expect, now you know what to, you know. You can do that much more, or, you know, that's kind of the nice thing about going and running, and then the following year coming back, and if, you know, everything stays pretty much the same, you know what you can do pretty much.
Yeah, it sure makes my build a lot faster.
Yeah.
For knowing what I'm allowed to do and what I'm not allowed to do and where I can put things or not put things.
Yep.
Or what can fly and what absolutely won't work.
Absolutely, yep. Yep.
Oh, that's a plus. I like that.
It'll cut down on telephone calls.
Oh, yeah. And me and Chris Lancaster, I swear, we would talk there for the last 4 or 5 weeks. We would talk almost every frickin' day. You know, about 3 o'clock, he would call me, hey, what are you doing? Because 3 o'clock, I'm just basically done working on my car here. I usually work on it from 10 to 3 during the daytime.
Mm-hmm.
And what did you do today? I did this. What did you do? I did this. What do you think of this? Well, shit, it could go either way, you know?
Yeah. Well, thanks for telling me that. Now I got to cut my car back apart and do it the other way.
Right.
the only you can't plate the center 6 inches of the cross member.
Yeah, the bottom 6 inches.
Bottom 6 inches. Well, Bob bottom 6 inches. Does that mean that meant the bottom of the cross member? The cross member 6 inches.
Yeah.
That's what the guy told me on the phone. I called him up and asked him. Yeah. And then Chris, I explained it to Chris. Yeah, he said this. Well, I didn't plate mine all the way across. Chris did. And then he's like, you bastard. Now I got to cut mine.
Yeah.
Well, why didn't you plate yours? I said, I don't know. Just kind of didn't really seem worth it. Huh?
Yeah.
So.
Oh, yeah.
Hopefully they'll clarify some of that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, you guys.
I believe that a lot of that's been cleaned up.
There's a lot of things that kind of got put in a sticky situation because of a couple things. But by the end of the weekend, I think they pretty much had it, you know, halfway through the weekend, they had it under control. And
by the time we got to tech, I mean, we were pretty late in tech. We were supposed to roll through at noon or whatever, 12:30. We didn't get through there till almost 4.
Yeah.
And by the time we got there, you know, the 15 minutes and you got time to argue your car, it was like, don't even talk. This is what I've been doing all day. It's what it is. Cut your car. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
All right. Sounds fair to me.
Mm-hmm.
So... But it was, I mean, I had no problem with tech. It was pretty straightforward.
Right.
Nothing concrete, but I heard that there's some fairly interesting surprises for those bringing cars across the inspection line for next year.
Oh, really?
I got to wait and see if we can confirm that a little bit more definitively. But it's one of those things that, honestly, I wasn't going to chase it now because we are a year away.
Mm-hmm.
Right,
a lot of things
exactly.
To change in a year.
I'll worry about that next year.
Yep.
I agree.
And I have to I kind of underbuilt my car because I didn't want to haul it 30 hours and be told, put your car back on the trailer.
Right.
And now you know.
Just too far.
Yep.
True.
So. Okay.
Was there anybody, before we let you go here, is there anybody that you wanted to make mention of? I know you had a great combination of partners with Chris Lancaster, Neil Jerry, Mitch Carlson, and a lot of that information sharing helped get you to the point where that car was put together to where you were confident, even though you're stepping a little bit outside of what might necessarily be the local comfort level. Anybody else that you wanted to make mention of to help make sure the car got there?
Dustin Anderson, he gave a lot of insight on building the car. Ski Inc. for building a damn good cradle, and my engine guard put together ran flawless.
Mm-hmm.
Gotta love it. So Woodrow built my rear end for me. That held up really nice. And all those guys. I like guys who build good stuff. I mean, I can't build it like that, but they sure know what the hell they're doing. Boy, right?
I agree.
Yeah, absolutely.
I agree. I mean, we're good friends with a lot of those people that you just mentioned, and no question, there's a lot of guys that are on the outside that you didn't mention that were building good stuff. You know, some of the guys that are building their own, Hoffmeister, we see them a lot. Chambliss Welding, we see them a lot. We see Baldwin, we see Redline,
E2 sliders,
yeah. And they all build good stuff. I mean, when I heard we were going to our first
Overkill,
we're going to go against Hoffmeister. I'm like, you're kidding me. I mean, look at the shit those guys build and sell. It's freaking huge.
Yep.
Overkill. I mean, you can get their stuff in half inch and 1 inch now. It's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Where it's going versus where it started is eye opening.
I'm working on 2 inch.
There we go.
Yeah. Good luck with that.
You said that one of the tables at work can cut 6 inch, right?
Yeah, I can cut 6 inch at work. So.
You better get a bigger forklift. It's gonna be heavy.
Well, Eric, man, I appreciate you coming on and hanging out with us. Always good
Thanks
to talk to you.
Thanks for having me on, man.
I can't wait. Can't wait to cross paths with you again. I'm looking forward to it.
Cool. All right, man. You guys have a good day.
Yeah, you
too. Appreciate it, Eric. We'll talk to you soon.
All right. Wait.
There goes Eric, ready to go. Enjoy the rest of his day.
Yep.
Eric Moulet, the Hammer. We are well after 7 now here local time. Boy, my phone got busy there when I alluded to what I heard in the inspection lines and what might be coming.
It's a year away. A lot of things can change in a year. You know,
holding on to it.
There's only so much stuff you can do, and you know, Sam always seems to, he's always open to ideas, and he's always looking for that that edge, that next step to get ahead of everybody. And that's what, you know, honestly, that's what makes his show so good. I mean, he's willing to take that extra step and go the extra mile and get all different views from every, you know, get the driver's views, get the fans' views, get our views, get, you know, everybody's views, and mush them all together and come out with an event like he has every year. And now he's now two events, you know, it's right. A different type of event, but now two events. And in Kansas, that Cook, Mr. Cook there, he's looking forward to it every single year. And super cool guy. I mean, to talk with him, real down to earth guy, and you know, normal, just an average guy, you know, ball busting guy, and he's definitely expressed how they're all on board and they want to make this great. And I, once again, how can it get, you know, how can it get better?
And it will. That's
and
the thing.
And it did. And it will. And so, and my hat's off to it. I mean, I got to thank Sam for letting us come out there, you know, letting me do what I did out there. And I didn't get a chance to talk to him before we left, but definitely thanks a lot. And thanks a lot to all the crews and the teams and the vendors and everything else that took time out to talk. And just it was a great time.
We tried to cram everything into an hour. There's so many people. I mean, Colt Newhoff and Jared Heaney.
Yeah.
Mitch Carlson, Matt Ertman.
Yeah.
Those guys put in. Look at what JYD was able to do. There's so many great teams. It got a chance to hang out with Pink and Black, you know, Jacob and Rachel Wazorik and Jason Stiles, Michael Maxton a little bit too, and even had Rachel up into the booth to talk a little bit about, you know, she's old iron through and through.
Yep.
And how many references to the 50-ton Porta Power did we hear through the course of the weekend? I mean, quite
a few. There's a lot of people that had them. You know, a lot
turns
of
out those are
heavy
apparently those are laying around.
Yeah, there's you know, they're out there. That's definitely a lot of ingenuity went into different fixturing and everything else we've seen out there too. I mean, it's there's like you said, trying to fit everything in an hour and. You can't do it, but
it's putting a final fork in Blizzard Bash 2015 this weekend, being streamed online due to some circumstances at home. Not going to be able to make the trip out there to be part of it. Unfortunately, it was very disappointing to have to break that unfortunate news. But nonetheless, still is being streamed online. Outlaw Promotions, Joe Hibbert having Turkey Bash Saturday in Amarillo, Texas. Hoping to catch up with the winner of that coming up next week. Everybody, make sure you jump online. If you look up Joe Hibbert, look up Outlaw Promotions, all that stuff is out there. You can jump online, find that, take in that. Another indoor derby with another set of build rules with another outstanding show. We talked to Brody Brown about that show. We were supposed to see him out there running with Team Underdogs. He had
that's where Arden Jennings is taking his car.
Arden Jennings is taking his car out there as well. Yep. So stay tuned to that. You can find that stuff, like I said, right on Outlaw Promotions. He's been posting a lot in J.C. Molly's page, is the Confederate States page on Facebook. And then hopefully we'll be catching up with the winner of that show coming up next Monday. Everybody, have a safe and happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy your time with your families. And obviously, if you're traveling, do it wisely. So, and to all of our hunters out there, good luck this week. Got a couple days off. Wish you the best. Dan O'Connell picking up a 10-point. You see that?
Oh, yeah.
You're looking deer, and I understand that David Big Rock is still hunting that elusive monster that he sends the pictures of. So, everybody, again, enjoy it. Thanks for tuning into episode number 107, the actual episode number 107, as we recap Blizzard Bash. Thanks a lot to Chad Markley and Eric Millay for coming on the show, and, of course, to Overkill making everything possible. We'll see you again right here next week. Come on. The show that won't end.
The Crash Course Podcast is brought to you in part by DerbyParts.com. The 2015 Wadena Grand Slam. Bolt Lockwood Motorsports and the 2015 Keystone National. Sciopa Racing and SciopaRacing.com. Ultimate Derby and Blizzard Bash 2015. Demo Derby Master. Reckless Abandon Derby Apparel at RecklessAbandonGear.com. And Derby Inc. Magazine. Live it, breathe it, be it. Derby Inc.
This is the Crash Course Demolition Derby Podcast, recorded live at the FingerLakes1.com studios in downtown Seneca Falls, New York.